first. So the Bible has a lot to say, as we've been talking about various tests. A lot of tests that we are to be taking. Now, what we've been seeing in this is that there's two different types of tests that generally that the Bible talks about. First, there are the tests that God gives to us, right? And then there are the tests that we are to be giving, right? Now, we've talked about a few different kinds of tests. We began this series of lessons talking about the trials test and realizing that God does give us trials to test and strengthen our faith. We talked about the heart test, where God tests our heart. Specifically, He tests the motivations of our heart. Last week, we talked about what I referred to as the everything test, where that's a test that we're supposed to do, where the scriptures tell us to test everything, and that's primarily it's talking about the doctrine, the teachings that we're being given, that we're hearing. We're to test those to make sure that they are true. Okay, so we have all these different kinds of tests. Understand that the purpose of all of the tests is to strengthen our faith. God gives us these tests. We take these tests just like you take a test in school to strengthen your knowledge and so forth and see how much you know. God gives us these tests to strengthen our faith. And one thing we've been saying throughout this is there's a question we need to be asking ourselves. Same as you take a test or for work or for school or whatever, how am I doing? How am I doing in this particular area of my life? Okay, so this morning in our series of studies on tests, we're talking about the friendship test. Okay, now, let's talk about true friendship because this is an area that I'm concerned. I really am concerned with social media going on the way that it is today that people really don't know what true friendship is. Okay? So Facebook, we'll just pick on that one this morning. And you've heard me say this before, I don't do social media. You have to have friends in order to do social media. I don't have any except Bobby, and he's not on social media, so I don't do Facebook, all right? Okay? So, but Facebook, on Facebook, all you have to do to become someone's quote-unquote friend is like something that they post, all right? And they add you as a friend. And so there are people that have thousands and thousands of friends, and it almost seems like that's the goal for a lot of people on Facebook is to see how many friends can I acquire, okay? Facebook friends. Well, are they really friends? This fellow, I don't know if you can read that. I've got hundreds of Facebook friends I've never met. And the older guy says, when I was young, we called them imaginary friends. Okay? And you know, I think that's closer to the truth. There are a lot of people say, oh, I've got, 2,000 or 3,000 friends on Facebook. They are not your friends. Okay? At the very best, they are acquaintances, but most of them are not your friends. You may have, two or three or four or five, but 2,000 or 3,000 friends? Okay, they are imaginary. You know that on Facebook, I understand, because again, I don't do it, but I understand it is really easy to unfriend someone or to become unfriended, as it says, all right? And all you have to do to be unfriended by someone is not like something that they have on there, okay? You don't like a post, you don't like something that they say, or if they don't like what you put on Facebook, then you can be unfriended at the click of a button. I don't know about you, but as far as friends go and so forth, I kind of look at that as easy come, easy go. All right? You can get friends real easy, but you can lose friends real easy. They come easy, they go easy. You see, I think one of the problems with friendship is that a lot of people anymore don't really know what true friendship is all about. And I think that a lot of the social media stuff that's going on out there has really devalued true friendship and what that really means. See? What happens when the turkey gets unfriended? Okay? What does that mean? All right? Well, you know, it may be seem kind of funny as a joke here, but there's a lot of folks who, when they unfriend you, they're not being very friendly and kind about it. And again, a lot of it is simply because they don't agree with what you think or whatever. True friendship, I want to suggest to you, looks like David and Jonathan that we read about in the Bible. Jonathan was King Saul's oldest son, and he was heir to the throne. Saul was the first king of Israel. And David was the one who was chosen and anointed to replace Saul as king. Now, if anybody had any reason whatsoever to unfriend someone, Jonathan probably was it. Okay? Jonathan was heir to the throne, but yet he knew that David was going to be the next king instead of him. And yet, Jonathan made a covenant of friendship with David, knowing that he himself would never be king, that David would be king in his place. He still loved David as he loved himself and made this covenant. Here's what it says to us in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And then look at this part, verse 4. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. Now understand, that was no small thing. Jonathan was not just simply giving David, you know, his stuff because that's what he had. What Jonathan was giving David was his royal robe. Okay? His royal belt. His royal sword. Everything that Jonathan had were indications of his royal position as the son of King Saul. And he gave those to David as part of this covenant of friendship. And I'm convinced also that Jonathan was acknowledging David as the next king, and giving him all of those royal things that were his. What a true and awesome, powerful friend Amen. Jonathan was. You see, Jonathan was aware of what his father Saul was trying to do in terms of killing David. Saul was jealous of David. He tried several times to kill David. Jonathan was fully aware of that. Yet Jonathan protected David, even to the point of going against his own father. Can you find a truer friend than that? What does the wise man have to say to us about friendship? Here's a couple of really interesting things. First of all, he says a friend loves at all times. Okay. A friend loves at all times, not just when everything's going good, but at all times. In Proverbs 18, he says, a man of many companions, I think we could probably write in there, Facebook, okay? A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. People have a lot of, as we talked about before, a lot of Facebook friends or companions. I can't help but think about all the lives that have been ruined because of Facebook.
Well,
the stuff that people put on there and the things that they get into trouble over. Sometimes just simply trying to impress their friends.
Well,
so is this proverb not very well, very, very true and applicable today? See? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Let that sink in for just a moment. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I found that somebody put it this way, and I like this. True friends will stab you in the front. think about that. Isn't that true? Your enemies are going to stab you in the back, right? That's what, as well say, they stab me in the back. But a true friend will hurt you, and you'll see where it's coming from. And the reason they do is because they care about you. That's a true friend. See, it may hurt, but they're hurting you because they care, because they know it is what is best for you. That is a true friend. A true friend will not go around behind your back and talking about you and carrying on and so forth. A true friend will confront you face to face. Again, may hurt, but you know it's for your best interest. Think about this particular proverb, the second part of it. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And isn't it interesting that Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss? Okay. Again, the wise man, his words are true, aren't they? True friendship versus lots of friends. It's a huge difference between those two, isn't it? Okay. Well, let's talk about the Jesus friend test. Okay? The Jesus friend test. In the text that was read for us as we began, John chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain..." Or some of your translations say, "Abide in my love." Well, Merle Tinney, in his book on the Gospel, John, the Gospel of Belief, has this to say. He says, "The word abide means the maintenance of an unbroken connection rather than repose, and bespeaks the necessity of," look at this, "a constant, active relationship between the believer and his Lord, if the result in life is to be productive." So when Jesus says, "Abide," if you abide or remain in me, he's talking about a constant, active relationship with him. Which is far different from a lot of folks who just simply say, "Well, yes, I believe in Jesus," but they're not living their life in a relationship with him. Okay? He goes on to say in verse 10, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." You know, it's interesting that when you ask people what they want most out of life, a lot of people, I think the majority of people, will express some form of, "I just want to be," help me out, "happy. I just want to be happy." And some people will even go to the extent of saying, when they're wanting to do something that they know that they shouldn't be doing, they know that God doesn't want them to be doing, they will say, and I've had people tell me this, "God would not want me to be unhappy." It's interesting to me that Jesus doesn't use the word happy here. He uses the word joy. There's a big difference between those two. We've talked about before. Happiness generally depends upon our external circumstances. And as long as everything's going the way I want it to go, then I'm happy. But when things aren't going the way I want it to be, then I am unhappy. We talked about that a few weeks ago in looking at the happy and unhappy campers, right? But joy is internal. Joy does not depend upon my circumstances being all going the way I want them to. Because joy comes from the Lord. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be complete. You see, when our joy, the source of our joy is Jesus in us, then we're able to be content and joyful even when the circumstances are not what we want. And that's what Jesus wants for us, to find that kind of joy, and that that joy may be complete within us. He goes on to say, "This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then that part of this passage that most people are very familiar with, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And of course, certainly Jesus was talking about what he was getting ready to do in going to the cross and laying his life down for us. But he's also telling us about how we need to be toward one another. How willing are you to lay your life down for a Facebook friend? See? Or them for you, when it is so easy to be unfriended. See? And then Jesus says this, verse 14, "You are my friends." And notice one little teeny tiny word, "if." It's just a small little word, but it carries a huge, huge impact. Because that word "if" is conditional. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And so what Jesus wants us to understand is we need, if we want to be friends with him, we've got to do what he tells us to do. We've got to live in obedience to his word. If we don't, if we're not willing to live in obedience to his word, we're not his friend.
Man.
That's we can claim that friendship all we want to. But notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That's what? Obeying his word, right? And then he goes on to say, "Many will say to me in that day," that's the judgment day, "'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name do many wonderful works?'" So in other words, there are a lot of folks who are calling Jesus their Lord and their friend.
And they're not.
They'll even do a lot of good stuff for Jesus. But Jesus will deny that they are his friend. See, that little two-letter word, "if," is really, really important. We cannot be a friend to Jesus and live however we want to live. We've got to live in obedience to him. Now, does that mean that we got to be perfect and never sin? No. That's what grace is all about. But what it does mean is we've got to be striving each day to walk in the light of Jesus in our lives. Like Jesus said, and you've heard me say this so many times, what is the core of the gospel message? John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. I'm not here to condemn you, Jesus says to her, but you got to live a different life. That's the message we need to understand. We want to be a friend of Jesus. We cannot keep living the way that we want to live. We've got to live in obedience to His will and His word. And finally, let's talk about the world friend test. Did you know there was such a thing? Yeah, there's a world friend test that James tells us about. So in other words, it's a test that we can take to see, are we being too friendly with the world? Look at what James has to say. Beginning in, it's chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we're going to look through verse 4 and 5 here. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Now understand, as we read this, keep in mind that James is writing this letter to Christians, okay? Keep that in mind and notice what say, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, you don't get it. And look at this next part. Again, keep in mind he's talking to Christians here. He says you kill and covet, but you can't have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with, and here it is again, we talked about this in our heart test study, you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Here's where it really gets tough. Again, who's he talking to? Who's he writing this to?
Christians.
Christians, okay? And how does he refer to them? You adulterous people.
Well,
do you understand what the word adulterous refers to? It means unfaithfulness, okay? Bottom line, that's what it's about, unfaithfulness. God over and over and over again referred to the Israelite nation as an adulterous people because they over and over again kept giving their affections to foreign gods. They were unfaithful to Him. And so God looks upon that unfaithfulness as adultery. In other words, breaking the covenant relationship with Him. He says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity or strife against God? You want to be a friend of the world? Then you become an enemy of God. And then look at the next part. Therefore, anyone who chooses, it's an interesting word, isn't it? Who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy
of God.
You see, this test, this friendship of the world test, involves a choice. We need to understand that. We choose. We have to choose who we're going to be friends with. We're either going to be friends with God or we're going to be friends with the world. We cannot be friends of both. And again, if you kind of go back to the whole Facebook thing, isn't that kind of the way, at least, you know, as I keep seeing stuff about Facebook all the time, that's kind of the way it is. There are some people that say, hey, look, if you want to be my friend, you don't want to be unfriended, you need to toe this line. Or I'll unfriend you. And then there are other people saying, oh, but you want to be my friend, then you need to repost what you took off so you can be friends with the other one. Say, we got to choose who we're going to be friends with, either the world or with God. Cannot be with both. The two are so opposed to one another. you cannot be friends with both. A lot of people are trying to do that. In fact, I would say the majority of people in the world that call themselves Christians are trying to do that. They're trying to be friends with the world and at the same time be friends with God. And he says you can't do that. You do that, you fail the world friend test.
Amen.
You say, because you can't do both. It is a one or the other, and the emphasis here is we have to make an active choice as to who we're going to be friends with. He goes on to say this in verse 5. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? Envies intensely. What does that mean? Well, it basically means that he is jealous for our devotion. And he will not be second to anyone or anything in our lives. God is jealous for us. Now, usually when we talk about jealousy, okay, we usually talk about that as being a bad thing, don't we? And for humans, for us to be jealous of somebody else because maybe, you know, they got something we want or whatever the case may be, that is a bad thing. But for God, his jealousy rests in nothing else but wanting us to be his. He is so jealous for us that he sent his son here to this earth to live and to die for you. That's how jealous he is for your love. Who loves you this much? Only God.
Yes, sir.
Who wants to be your friend. He loves you that much. You cannot find a better friend than Jesus. I hope that the things that I have shared with you about this test of friendship will do three things. Number one, it will maybe cause you to reevaluate and at least think about the whole concept of true friendship and what that is. And in our world today, that's really important for us to do. Secondly, for you to take the Jesus friend test. Okay? And really looking at and asking yourself, am I striving to abide in him? That is, to remain in a relationship with him so that his joy may be in you and may be complete in you. And the third thing is the world test. That we need to evaluate. We need to test ourselves from time to time to make sure we're not getting too friendly with the world. Now, Ray has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song, and we offer an invitation to anyone. And there may be someone here this morning that maybe you're struggling in your relationship with Jesus. That maybe you see yourself as becoming too friendly to the world. Maybe you need some help to overcome that. Well, that's what we're here for. There may be someone here this morning who knows and recognizes you're not a friend of Jesus yet because you haven't given your life to him. That you are still separated from him by your sin. Well, I'm here to tell you right now that you can fix that problem real easily this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life and thus your friend, okay, then confess him as Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. We got water ready, don't we, Chuck? Water's ready. You don't have to wait for anything. We can help you with that. All you got to do is let me know.
Amen.
There's something else that we can do to help you in your life right now. Just let us know that. We'll do whatever it is that we can. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him there. And I'll be up front to receive anyone that would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.